Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 154, part 1, Proud Self Asking Evil Questions. Today is Friday, July 2nd, 2010. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos. I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's mission, the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota, is located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. If you need food and you live in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older or disabled with proof, call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. You can also shop at Pastor Paul's Mall online. Be sure to check out vonsgrocery.com. You can also join our online community, and up at the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, Twitter, the podcast, Life Vantage, and YouTube. So be sure to check out the online community at pastorpaul.org. You can email me, Janine, at pastorpaul.org. And at Pastor Paul's blog, you're going to find show notes with scripture links. So be sure to check those out and join us every week for part one on Friday and part two of Pastor Paul's messages. The conclusion is on Sunday. This month, the month of July, the lineup is the following: Proud Self Asking Evil Questions, Great Form But No Power, Are You a Believer in Seasons, So Weeping Reap Rejoicing, Times of Fearing and Doubting. There you have it, the month of July. Hope you have a great summer. Be sure to join us every week here on Friday and Sunday for Pastor Paul's podcast. God bless you.
And today's message is entitled, Proud Self Asking Evil Questions. I'm getting my message out of 2 Kings chapter 5. I read here about a mighty captain of an Armenian army who had leprosy. Real proud man. And a little slave girl says to him, I wish that my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, and he would cure him of his leprosy. And he started thinking about this, and he laid awake all night. Wow, if I could only be healed, if I could only be my old self. And then Naaman tells the king this, and the king sends Naaman to Elisha. And he arrives at Elisha, the Bible says, in the door, and he meets him at the door with all these gifts, silk robes and camels and mules, gold and silver and a chariot. probably even had music behind him. And so here he is in all of his prideful self standing in front of Elisha's door. But a funny thing happens. Instead of welcoming him in and waving his arm over him and saying, "Be healed, your coming, your mere coming has made you whole," his messenger says, "Go dip in the Jordan 7 times and you will be healed. Go jump in the river." Not once, but 7 times. The Bible says, "But Naaman went away furious." He said like this, "Behold, surely I thought he would surely come out to me." I mean, here I am standing out here with all these mules and camels and silks and satins and this entourage of people and all of this beauty and all of this music and all of this, and he says, "Go jump in the river." And I thought he was going to come out and call upon the name of the Lord, his God, and wave his arm and I would be healed. Now listen to this verse, 2 Kings verse 12. "Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" And so he turned and went away in a rage. Proud self and evil questioning are two of Satan's greatest allies. I ministered on this some years back, and this is part two of it. But I think they are two of the very chiefest destroyers of the souls of men. I also think that they both hit Naaman at the same time. First, proud self. Naaman shouted all red in the face, "Behold, I thought he would surely come out to me," pride there, see, "and stand and call upon the name of his Lord God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. What's going on? And he tells me to go jump in the river." And then evil questioning comes in and butts in and hits Naaman, and he says like this, "Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the rivers of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? I had to come all the way here. You could have told me to do this over there, and I could have been healed over there. The rivers are much better. They're not as muddy." You know what? Prideful people will always seek their own solution to have their own way. Bodies laying all over the place, it doesn't matter one bit, as long as they have their own way and look good. No, I thought this makes it so hard when a man has to fight these two adversaries, proud spirit and another wicked spirit of unbelief, asking questions, evil questions, and tempting the Lord our God against first our proud, righteous self. Naaman wanted to look good, don't you see? He missed the back padding. When you're a proud person, you miss this back padding. Oh, you're doing a great job. And he missed all the cheers and all the people saying ooh and ah. And he missed riding through the cities in his chariot. And, he had all of his muscles trained to look good while he went through, all oiled up, going down this lane of flower throwing. And when we do this, we stand against our God's 10 commandments. Which in the end will expose all our boasting, all the encouraging of a hope of salvation by efforts of our very own. And I think it's very important to minister to people that aren't born again. And even this message will speak to those that are born again. Righteous self is doomed when facing the law of God. The 10 commandments were brought about. Man didn't know he was a sinner, and so God says, "Here's the 10 commandments. Now let's see if you can keep all those, and then now you know that you're a sinner." And we'll have to bring one Jesus Christ, because you can no way keep all the 10 commandments all the time perfectly. And so you see our filthy garments then are revealed, aren't they? We don't need Jesus, so we refuse the blood covering, and the light of God shows us up as large dunghills. This is the spirit of the Antichrist that's all over our world today, like never before, that sets itself up in opposition to a very plenteous atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, no, I'm not going to do that thing. I'm not going to look on that serpent. I'm not going to look on that cross. Well, let me tell you, there are a lot of dunghills walking around. Have you ever seen a dunghill walking? Well, I have. Have you ever seen a dunghill talking? Well, I have. I was one. Anyway, as far as evil questioning, he also does much ruin amongst men's souls. And I think many need to be rescued from this spirit of hell's pit, evil questionings. And I believe a lot of people go to hell asking questions. Not asking, what must I do to be saved, but asking questions about matters too high for them. Questions which were used only as an excuse for continuing on in sin. I mean, what's wrong with a few drinks, after all? What's wrong with a few drinks? Well, if it makes your brother stumble, don't do it. It's against the royal law of love. Not in itself that would send you to hell, but it's not showing love towards someone else. I mean, doesn't God want us to be happy? How many times are you happy when you're going against God? Oh, I think it's a real type of hell to have God as our God and have Jesus as our personal Savior and know that perfectly and then not hear the voice of the Lord. That is a hell, isn't it? To know that you are eternally saved and yet feel dry and feel estranged from God. That is a real type of hell. That you would rather be in hell than be that way. You ever have your mother or your father do that? Well, they just turned their back on you and didn't say anything. Whew. But anyway, their questions become then pillows to rest their heads upon. I used to ask all them questions before I was saved. Praise God for the message. There is therefore no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. You know, you preach something like that, people think you're looking for an excuse to go on your own way, but you're sinning all the time in your minds. There is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. And of course, now I hear him adding, for those that walk after the Spirit. That is not in the original. Someone added that. Someone put it in. Someone tried to destroy the grace message or gray it out a little bit. No, it's all God. Look upon that serpent. All ye and be saved. Look upon Jesus Christ and be saved. Here they put Jesus in the same relation as the serpent. Why? He became sin. Just like the serpent, he became that. It had to be nailed to the cross. It is finished. It is over. It is all done. Became a symbol of sin in the flesh that had to be destroyed. For you and I, for a perfect atonement, there's nothing you can do. And anyway, they'll go on and they'll always ask of God's people very hard questions. Ignorant questions. And continue on the same road. Oh, how we need to know the love of God and how we need to know that God is the protector of you. And then these people will go ahead, and I did it. They reject God's mercy, God's way out, God's deliverance. And we don't have to act moral and answer. When you talk to people, you don't have to act moral. Don't point people to your track record. Point them to Jesus Christ. Now listen, what evil questioning put to Naaman. And what Naaman said as a result of it, an evil question says like this, what virtue can there be in water? Now, people even argue about water baptism. And all I do, I say, well, I'll point you to the Word of God and I'll give you my testimony that after I was baptized in water, some things left me. And it was the first act of obedience I did to the Lord, and it felt good, and I obeyed God in it, and it had a result. It didn't get me saved, it just was an act of obedience. Receiving Jesus, the one that was hung on the cross. See, you just got to give people a simple message. Don't complicate the message. You complicate it and add to it, and you ruin the grace message. But what virtue, evil questioning says, can there be in water? Why should I be told to go wash it all? Me, Naaman, come on now, come on. By whose authority? And some people cannot come under any kind of authority. Don't tell me what to do. I am a captain and I am a warrior. I have washed every day. I was an ivory baby. That don't mean nothing. Now, has it done any good? No. That's evil questionings. I mean, the Jordan is but a mud hole compared to my own rivers. I got my own ways of doing things. Nobody's going to tell me how to do it. I know where the water is, and I know which one I want to jump in. I know which scriptures are for me, and I'll jump in those scriptures. Well, that's not a very lovely way, is it? I mean, we have medicinal streams in our own land. I can go jump in one of those rivers if I have to. I will, but I'm not going to jump here. Got it? I mean, this old mud hole here dumps into the Red Sea. What's that showing me, see? My rivers are cleaner. My rivers are swifter. My rivers are wider. May I not go home to Samaria and wash in there? I mean, this is so sad to come all this way for such a stupid advice. I'm not coming under any authority. I won't listen. I know what river I want to jump in. I know the Word of God. I listen, I'm not going to put up with this. That's final. Wash and be clean. It's absurd. Who are you? Don't you know who you are addressing? You're addressing me. It's so ridiculous. You're just rubbing it in. I mean, it's so contrary to the very nature of things. It can't be possible that I would go down here and jump in the river and have all these nincompoops watching me. I'll be made a fool of. Oh, we're so afraid of being made a fool of. Well, I've come to the point in my ministry where I'm going to be a fool for Christ's sake. I am going to be a dedicated warrior down here on the north side 24 hours a day. I'm jumping in the river. Say amen, somebody, and that's what it's got to be. It's got to be a total commitment or none at all. Well, in the time of Jesus, when he was here, families and all these different people and Pharisees and Sadducees and all these scribes and all these people had to make decisions. Either they were going to go all the way or they weren't. What's your decision? We're rounding the corner. We're coming. Whatever goes around comes around. We're coming right around now to the coming of Jesus. And as it was in the beginning, so will it be now. You're going to have to make a decision. And the only way you're going to get peace in any of your lives is to make a decision and stand on the decision, and there might be a lot of odds against it. But my river is cleaner and swifter and wider. May I not go to Samaria and jump in my own pool? Oh, God, I'd love to go back out here, and Lord, I would just love to go out here in the suburbs and just be out there, Lord. It's so easy. And jump in out there. I thought that. I thought that all about all these people. How can they do that? You know, just go out and jump in those rivers out there when they belong down here doing the Lord's work. And I went out there for just a very few hours, and I thought, oh, no. This is not my river. But anyway, he says, therefore, I will not go and try it. You're listening on a radio. Why don't you come on down here and try it? Why don't you just come on down and try it? Now, I know you're listening because there's so many people listening that they've given us free of charge Saturday and Sunday radio. And I'm not saying that in a proud way. I'm just saying I know that you're listening. So, get your feet wet. Don't just come in and put your toe in. Woo-hoo-hoo. No, come on in all the way up to your knees. And then come up to your waist and then get out into the water so you got to swim and lay on your back and trust God. Because you see, if we're Christians and we only walk in so far up to our knees here, we just got enough so we can reach down and throw mud balls off the bottom at each other. So anyway, going on, you see, here is evil questioning. Let's expose him today. So the next time that we run into him, we'll know him. Next time you hear an evil question come your way. I'll describe him with God's help best I can. Let's bring him out today and let's execute him. Hang him by the neck until dead. Drown him in the river. Next we'll go on and we'll kill all of his children, his offsprings. See, pride is the father of all this. That's the devil. Then he's got a lot of little offsprings. Springs, the Bible says, without water. From old King Coil pride. Yeah, it's 8 or 10 kids. All the spit and image of their father. So today, let's do away with evil questioning and all his little evilings. So number one, let's detect old Mr. Evil questioning. Of course, he doesn't go by that name. He's in disguise all the time. Well, he says, my Lord, he says, my name is Honest Inquiry, not Evil Questioning. I'm just making an inquiry. Did you ever notice what a temper Mr. Honest Inquiry has if you do not answer him? When Mr. Evil Question comes to you, don't answer. And he'll call himself, I'm just inquiring. I just thought it my duty to ask so I'll know how to pray. Well, I'm going to tell you how to pray. Go on home and pray for yourself. Know your enemy. I mean, I think you've got the wrong guy. I mean, I hope it never becomes a sin for a man to make an honest inquiry. I mean, Mr. Honest Inquiry, really, incognito, because he's Mr. Evil Questioning, is saying something like this. I mean, answer the question with not one explanation or one thought behind it. It's a court of law. Yes or no? Answer the question. Don't answer. Don't answer evil questioning coming in disguise as Mr. Honest Inquiry. Somebody that wants to know your business. Now, I know a lot of you folks out there. Now, listen to what I'm going to say here. Don't let everybody know your business. Fall silent. Don't say a thing. There's always somebody might, and I had a message Friday night on it. Go tell them to mind their own business. And that's what Jesus' message was. He was about his Father's business. But he goes on, listen, I am an honest citizen. Doesn't he sound good? And Mr. Evil Questioning says, I am a child of human reason. Listen, his parents are Adam and Eve. Say amen, somebody. I think humanism is an excuse to rebel against God. And here's a weird twist for you that I found. The most avid fighters of humanism are the greatest supporters. You know, when we're fighting humanism, we can get so humanistic fighting it that we become just like what we're fighting. And we get all our woolen garments on and we're fighting and raging and we're mad and we're humanist and we're moral majority and oh, wow, you know. And we get so self-righteous and so prideful in what we're doing, we become more humanistic than the humanist. And the humanist says, well, look at you. Instead of lifting up Jesus Christ, we lift up our doctrine and we lift up our evil question. Well, is this right what you're doing? Well, they know that isn't right what they're doing. Well, understand this, that the parent of evil questioning lies here. And it's like this. Man's perverted reasoning meets with man's love of sin, and these two join to bring forth evil questionings. And I mean like this. See, it is not your reason that makes you talk against God, except that you have a very perverted reasoning. It's your love of sin that sets your reason on a wide awake watch. And I think many lovers of sin are the attackers of sin. Say amen. I mean, they will attack sin with vim and vigor and because they love it. They are the most avid lovers. They don't have their eyes on Jesus. They have their eyes on sin. The Bible's very clear on that. Hate sin, love the sinner. And if you love the sinner, you won't bring up his sins to him all the time. You'll tell him about the atonement. You'll tell him about Jesus Christ that can wash away all of his sins. And you'll give him encouragement. And you always won't put the question to him, what are you doing? Look at you, you scunger. That is perverted reasoning. Oh, I know what I'm talking about here. Some of the most avid lovers of sin are those that profess to hate it, and they go out and they witch hunt. Try to discover some difficulty. Try to make that an excuse to follow God. And they ruin people all along the way. It's like law and grace trying to mix the two. It's like election. It's like fall from grace. It's like repentance and forgiveness. They go on and on and on, and they confuse the issue. Do not even believe yourself when you repeat the tale told by Satan that you are only making an honest inquiry. Don't you believe it for one minute. Check your tongue. Mind your own business. God has dealt with me, Paul. Mind your own business. Don't worry about what they're doing over there. Worry about what they're doing over there. It doesn't make any difference. Be about the Father's business. And the fact that you ask loaded questions with no love shows me where you're at. Do you know you can take the Word of God and you can ask loaded questions? You can. You can get it right out of the Word of God, and you can come to someone you don't even know where they're at in their depression. You don't even know where they're at in their walk. You don't even know the situation that they're going through. And we can go ahead and we can lay a heavy message on that person with not one thought. Oh, look what the Lord gave me. I just opened the Bible up. Now the Lord saw, and it was displeasing in his sight, that there was no justice. Now listen. And he saw that there was no man, and was astonished that there was no one to intercede. Then his own arm brought salvation to him, and his righteousness upheld him, and he put on righteousness like a breastplate, and the helmet of salvation on his head, and he put upon the garments of vengeance for clothing, and he wrapped himself with zeal as a mantle. Let us learn how to be zealous for good and encouraging people. Don't you believe that your questioning springs from honesty? And I'm talking today about myself and all of us. But be honest with yourself and acknowledge this. That you do not love the gospel because it is too hard for you. The gospel is so rich and so full and so free and so great and so wonderful and so powerful. That sometimes it's too hard for us to believe it for someone else. Maybe it'll want you to give up your sins that you love too much to renounce them. Because your sins, you start then to hunt and doubt. Then you put out plea after plea to gain time to hold on to the world. Are you hearing this?